Go look, Alex said, backing away. Moist peered through the slit, back towards the city. In the distance, a tower was sparkling. Mad Al strode over to the half-sized Klax array and grabbed the handles. All right, Mr. Litvig, let's hear your plan, he said. Alex, give me a hand. Adrian, just there, hang on, all right? It's trying to push a dead mouse in my ear, said a reproachful voice from below. Moist shut his eyes, lined up the thoughts that had been buzzing for hours, and began to speak. Behind and above him, the huge expanse of canvas was just enough to block the line of sight between the two distant towers. In front of him, the smoking Gnu's half-sized tower was just the right size to look to the next tower in line, like a bigger tower a long way off. At night, all you could see were the lights. The Klax in front of him shook as the shutters rattled, and now a new message was dropping across the sky. It was only a few hundred words. When Moist had finished, the Klax rattled out the last few letters and then fell silent. After a while, Moist said, "Will they pass it along?"
"Oh, yeah," said Mad Al in a flat voice. "They'll send it. You're sitting up in a tower in the mountains, and you get a signal like that. You'll get it away and out of your tower as fast as you can."
"I don't know if you ought to shake your hand or throw you off the tower," said St. Alex sullenly. "That was evil."
"What sort of person could dream up something like that?" said Mad Al. "Me."
"Now, let's pull Adrian up, shall we?" said Moist quickly. "And then I'd better get back to the city." An omniscope is one of the most powerful instruments known to magic, and therefore one of the most useless. It can see everything with ease. Getting it to see anything is where wonders have to be performed, because there is so much everything, which is to say, everything that can, will, has, should, or might happen in all possible universes, that anything, any previously specified thing, is very hard to find. Before Hex had evolved the controlled thaumarisms, completing in a day a task that would have taken 500 wizards at least 10 years, omniscopes were used purely as mirrors, because of the wonderful blackness they showed. This, it turned out, is because nothing to see is what most of the universe consists of, and many a wizard has peacefully trimmed his beard while gazing into the dark heart of the cosmos. There were very few steerable omniscopes. They took a long time to make and cost a great deal. And the wizards were not at all keen on making any more. Omniscopes were for them to look at the universe, but not for the universe to look back at them. Besides, the wizards did not believe in making life too easy for people, at least for people who weren't wizards. An omniscope was a rare, treasured, and delicate thing. But today was a special occasion, and they had thrown open the doors to the richer, cleaner, and more hygienic sections of Ankh-Morpork society. A long table had been set for second tea. Nothing too excessive, a few dozen roast fowls, a couple of cold salmon, 100 linear feet of salad bar, a pile of loaves, one or two kegs of beer, and of course the chutney, pickle and relish train, one trolley not being considered big enough. People had filled their plates and were standing around chatting and, above all, being there. Moist slipped in unnoticed for now because people were watching the university's biggest omniscope. Arch-Chancellor Ridcully thumped the side of the thing with his hand, causing it to rock.
"It's still not working, Mr. Stibbons," he bellowed. "Here's that damned enormous fiery eye again."
I'm sure we have the right time," Ponder began, fiddling with the rear of the big disc.
It's me, Devious Collarbones, sir,"
said a voice from the omniscope. The fiery eye pulled back and was replaced by an enormous fiery nose.
I'm here at the terminal tower in Genua, sir. Sorry about the redness, sir. I've picked up an allergy to seaweed, sir." "Hello, Mr. Collarbone," yelled Ridcully. "How are you? How's the..."
"At shellfish research," murmured Ponder Stibbons.
"Shellfish research coming along?"
"Not very well, actually, sir. I've developed a nasty..."
"Good, good, lucky chap,"
Ridcully yelled, cupping his hands to increase the volume.
"I wouldn't mind being in Genua myself at this time of year. Sun, sea, surf and sand, eh?"
Actually, it's the wet season, sir, and I'm a bit worried about this fungus that's growing on the omnis..."
"Wonderful!" shouted Ridcully. "Well, I can't stand here and chew your fat all day. Has anything arrived? We are agog."
Could you just stand back a little further, please, Mr. Collarbone?" said Ponder. And you don't really need to speak so loudly, Arch-Chancellor."
"Chap's a long way away, man," said Ridcully.
"Not as such, sir," said Ponder, with well-honed patience. "Very well, Mr. Collarbone, you may proceed."
The crowd behind the Arch-Chancellor pressed forward. Mr. Collarbone backed away.